Okay, great job. So, how are you, had a good lunch? Yeah, awesome, good job. So here's the thing though about lunch. We got a saying in South African Afrikaans, and it says, Maagkies vol, oogkies toe. And that means stomach full, eyes closed, right? Sometimes you're a little less energy. I'm going to ask you guys to up the level energy. Can you do that? Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Great job. So I'm going to invite to you a very, very, very special guest. His name is Paul. Say hi, Paul. And he is a physiotherapist. And he coaches physiotherapists and chiropractors all over the world. He is very, 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 very sought after. It was very difficult to get time and, you know, get him to him. He's just squeezing us in on his way to America, where he's speaking in Austin, Texas. He's doing the whole tour across, you know, thousands and hundreds of chiropractors and physiotherapists across there. And he runs a very successful clinic up north. Very, very successful. So we're very blessed to have him here. It's the first time I met him. We just clicked the first time we spoke online. We clicked straight away. He's got a great energy, and he's going to come talk to us a little bit about communication. And I think you guys have a lot of fun now. So if you please, on your feet, please, and welcome to stage, Paul.
Thank you. So thank you. I think the reason that me and Ryan clicked was primarily around cricket. I'm a huge cricket fan and spent a little bit of time in South Africa two or three times to watch the tests and love to go out there and watch cricket. So we had a fabulous conversation around cricket, and I think more than anything, that's how we connected. And there's probably something in that for everybody, that we're all, you know, I'm here today to speak about business, but ultimately business is about people, and it's about connections, and it's about communication, and ultimately how we can, certainly I firmly believe, how we can connect better with people is what will determine how successful you are in business. You can have all the skills in the world, you can have all the qualifications, you can have all the letters after your name, it means jack shit if you cannot speak to people, and I mean that with the most respect on earth. So Ryan, you mentioned I got to America, and I do. In America, there's a huge thing around being a doctor. So how many chiropractors in the room right now? Physios? Okay, so more chiropractors than physio, so I've got to be careful today. Does everyone get on, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, good. When I said to a friend of mine in America that I was doing this today and there was going to be a big contingent of physios and chiropractors, I got one text back and just said, good luck. Because in America, it's a huge divide, it's a huge difference. And I do work with chiropractors, and I do help chiropractors to be successful. And often they'll get in touch with me, and their first email or their first conversation will be, I love your stuff, I've followed you online, or I've watched your videos, or I've, you know, listened to your podcast or whatever. But I'm a chiropractor, do you work with me? And my often reply is, again, I don't really give a shit what you do. All I care about is the end person, the end consumer. That's all I obsess over. Is this coming, am I in the wrong position? Am I good, shall I move? Am I all right? It's winging around here. Okay. I don't really care about, and I mean this with all respect, and I'm pretty brutal with everything that I say and teach, and I do it on purpose. We ain't got long, and I try to get my message across as fast as possible. I don't care whether you're a chiropractor or a doctor of chiropractic or a doctor of physical therapy. All I care about is the person at the end, the consumer. And if everybody comes from that point of view, business is a lot easier. Because I see so many people obsessed with their skill, their qualification, their thing, their years in university, their ability to do whatever they can do. And it really doesn't mean anything at the beginning of a relationship. For context, there are thousands and thousands of physical therapists and chiropractors, and every one of them thinks that they're better than the other one. They're not all as successful as they want to be. So it kind of tells you a story that it's got not as much to do with the schooling and the techniques and the skills as you think it has, particularly in a business environment. So I'm here today to not necessarily talk to you about, it's funny because normally when I do these talks, they are for business owners, so I'll adjust a little bit today, but it really doesn't make any difference. Communication is communication, and how we communicate is ultimately how, whether this is a room full of lawyers, doctors, dentists, or whoever, it's exactly the same. So I was asked to speak on communication, and I could have put something on the board like communicate to win or how to communicate better with your patients, and it's pretty crap. I think this is the real thing that, as I've gone around the world speaking and doing this and helping businesses, and I've helped businesses in 5 different countries, I've grew my own business, I've got 20 of my own staff, I've got 4 clinics, I've gone from a solo practitioner working out of a bedroom to what I've got now, and I genuinely believe that this is the problem for businesses. The complete lack of understanding of how little we know about how these people actually make decisions to choose physio or chiropractic. I'm gobsmacked that we're allowed to go through school or university without an entire year, never mind a lesson, on understanding on how human beings actually make decisions. Because they quite simply don't. We're not very good at making decisions. So what I'm going to do today is talk to you a little bit about, I'll introduce you properly of what I've done and how I've got here, so that, and I think that's important because I'm not just here to preach. I don't just read books and spiel it back out. I kind of spend a lot of time learning, conferences, seminars, attending meetings, studying with business owners, and I take what I learn and I put it into my own business and then I teach it. So nothing that I will teach you today is just from a book. It's something that I've made work for myself or for another business owner. So as I go through the presentation, it's very there's not many bullets. I'm not going to preach, I'm not going to teach, I'm just going to talk. We've got about 45-50 minutes together, and then I've got 30 minutes for Q&A. I love Q&A because it just allows it to put it into context. I'm not going to sit here and just regurgitate what you're seeing on the slide. I'm just going to talk around some basic principles that I believe will help you. I'm not here to preach, I'm not here to teach, I'm just here to share with you what I think is being responsible for my success and now the hundreds of business owners that I've been able to help. 5 different countries I've used these same philosophies in for chiropractors and physiotherapists, and they've worked. So it's completely up to you whether you want to take them, whether you believe them, whether you buy into them. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to just try and give you some fresh perspective, if you like, from a guy who's just got this clinic in the north. Does anyone know the northeast of England, by the way? Yeah. Anybody been? Yeah, all right. It's it's interesting that it makes me laugh that I teach. I'm from a little town. That's one of my clinics in Hartlepool. And it's a very economically challenged town. It's like the northeast of England is just like a ghost town, right? And that's being respectful to it. And I kind of teach this stuff to clinic owners in San Diego and Miami and Las Vegas and all this stuff. And it never, ever like fails to make me giggle that there I am in the middle of Hartlepool teaching these people how to run businesses, when my belief is that like these guys know it all and et cetera. And it really, really isn't. So again, there's something in that of if you just open your mind up to what's possible and what I'm going to say to you today, this stuff can work for you. And it is, it's not just theory. It's stuff that I've worked with over a number of years. So I'm a published author. I wrote a book called The Healthy Habit. It's on Amazon. You can get it. And from a marketing point of view, I wrote that because it allowed me to connect better with the people that I wanted to help. I'm not here to help everybody. I can't help everybody. And it was one of the most pivotal days of my life when I got really clear on who my skills were best served in terms of what my business was about and who we could help. So rather than having a come on in if you've got problems, it's a you must qualify. And as long as you have these problems or these problems, and you're this type of person, that type of person, or that type of person, you can come into my world. If you don't fit the bill, you're not. Pretty brutal, but that has been a huge reason. So the book was written with that in mind. My early career, I spent 5 years in professional soccer, football. I spent a lot of time in America, so if you hear me use American terminology, that's what it is. I spent 5 years working with Middlesbrough and Darlington Football Club. That was my initial first five years of understanding the skill, if you like, of being a physio. And then I left when I was 27 to set up a business, which started from a bedroom and a little room inside a gym in Darlington, another little town in the northeast. And that has now evolved to a 4 clinic practice, 20 staff, 2,000 visits a month, give or take, nearly all through direct marketing, nearly all through word of mouth, direct marketing, Facebook, Google. And that really has been the difference of my business. I don't do very little with insurance companies. I have nothing to say to the insurance companies. I have no love of the medical agencies, no love of solicitors. And I got pretty pissed off with them around about 2010, 2011, when all the fees started getting dropped and they were just literally sending you emails saying you used to be able to bill as 40, but now it's like 19. Sound familiar? So I got pretty irritated by all of that and set off on a journey to America to learn how to run a business, literally just to learn how to run a business and learn how to market a business that I was in control of, that I could decide who was coming through the doors, that I could tell them how many sessions they needed rather than wait for approval for an insurance company to grant it. You know, some woman in a bloody call center somewhere telling me whether I can have six sessions or eight. So those days are gone for my business, and I think that's what makes it unique. And the formula that I've got, if you like, is why so many businesses love what I've done, is because it is quite different in that nearly all of the patients are coming in through direct marketing. There's very little contact with the HR department of anywhere. We get paid on the day, upfront, in cash, bang, like for your 10 sessions. At very high profit margins, insanely high profit margins, in fact. We did 950,000 last year, 35% profit margin, and I spend 3 hours in that business a week. So it's a hugely profitable business, only made possible because of a lot of the stuff that I'm going to teach you today, and a lot of just stepping outside of what the rules actually are, in theory. As I look around at businesses around the world, the rules are so stacked against you, it's almost impossible to be successful. Every single thing is just out there to get you and catch it. And if you stay within the rules of the traditional businesses, I think you're screwed completely. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So you almost have to reinvent a model. And essentially, that's what I did now at the Paul Gough Physio Rooms, where I invented a model that combines massage, physio, and sports therapy that talks only to people age 55 plus who want to keep active, mobile, and free from painkillers. That's all I do, all day long. If you come into my clinic, there's a lady called Mary sat on the couch. She's 55. She has 2 kids, 3 grandkids. All she wants to do is go to Pilates, sit in a coffee shop. She works 2 days a week. Her husband works away and has a decent job, and he pays the bill. There's 2,000 of them coming to my clinic a month. That's it. And because we're very clear on that at the business, it allows me to custom tailor the service in terms of how many receptionists have we got in here? CS, love it. Look, no, I'm going to say, you'll love me. You're the most important person in any business. And I've said this, and I've fired more people in America in the businesses that I've gone in than I've probably created employment for. And I've created a lot of jobs for a lot of businesses. And the reason being, the girl on the front desk, my favorite saying in business, she doesn't cost you 20K, she costs you 200 grand if you get it wrong. It's that important. The person on the front desk is the most important person in this business, bar none. And the chiropractors and the physios can do a lot in terms of, yeah, they can make you money and they can put the prescription to care and they can create the care plan and they can get the person coming back 12 visits. It's all pretty standard stuff. Anybody can do that. But what I know about business and businesses that I've been in, not just mine, the difference that the owner's often looking for, that extra 10 or 12% that makes his profit a bit healthier at the end of the month and his stress levels a bit lower, comes from the receptionist, the CS, whatever you want to call yourself. It's irrelevant. The person who meets and greets, the person who answers the phone, the voice, the eye contact, the familiarity, the friendly face, the empathy, the warmth, the connection, whatever the hell it is, that's what you do. So the title is absolutely irrelevant. But the role that you play is what's pivotal, and I do firmly believe they are most important. Of all of the staff training I do, and I do a lot, it's geared around 80% of it is front desk, 20% with physios. So there's my clinics, my book, my early life as a physio. And now I'm more businessy than anything. I just fell in love with business a few years ago, and it's the drug that just completely juices me, and I could talk about it. If you want to get me talking on business, I will be here till 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's like, I love it. I won an award this year, my biggest, probably personal achievement, if you like, of 2016. I won an award for creating a marketing system that connects this software, it's called Infusionsoft, to people and to help them make decisions. So I won the award around pretty much taking this bland software that everybody was making money on and using, and I used it to help people make decisions by creating follow-up sequences that sent people information who made inquiries at my business, who I knew absolutely without any shadow of doubt were not ready to book appointments yet, and I just hung in with them, sometimes for 12 months, sometimes 18 months, and ultimately my business is built on this kind of concept, that today, there's somebody on this company's website today who is not going to buy from you because you're not giving them information or they're not ready to buy, who would if you did, who comes for a prescription, who comes for the initial evaluation, who is tentative, who's nervous and skeptical, and isn't anywhere near ready to sign up for a 5 grand plan of care. And if we can build a business around that kind of philosophy, that would, if we just hung in with them and we created a system around that, that's the difference that makes the difference. And I'll talk a lot about that as I go through the talk today. So I won this, and it was in front of 45,000 global customers around the world. Went to Phoenix to get an award. It was a pretty cool thing that really kind of launched me in America, certainly last year. So if you want to check me out, there's my website, paulgoughphysio.com. My book, PT Profit Academy, is the kind of education site. If any of you do love this stuff and you like it, you can get on my email list and just watch what I do. I write blogs and videos, and I have a YouTube show, I have a podcast, I have snippets going out all over Facebook almost every day, and I believe that's probably how Kat found me, was through YouTube. There's a lot of stuff, and it's just real. It's just me in the clinic teaching my staff, doing what I'm doing, or on stage speaking like this. So, and a podcast, if you like to listen to podcasts, I'm on iTunes. So I've told you a little bit already how I grew the business. Went from physio as a football physio to starting to fall in love with business and understanding the mechanics and the structure, if you like, of business, which isn't really what we're taught in school or certainly in university, and realized that I had a pretty decent business, or what I led thought was a business at the time, but it was me as a solo practitioner and a part-time secretary. I was seeing probably 100 visits a week, going home with decent revenue, you know, very happy, and I would have been a relatively wealthy, rich, you know, for where I live in the northeast of England. But my health was a mess. My back was in agony. I had chest problems at 30 when I was taken into a hospital in Orlando. True story, my girlfriend's at the back if you want to ask her. We were wandering around SeaWorld, thought I was having a heart attack. All sorts of stuff was wrong. So I was going to be probably the richest in the graveyard at 35. So I had to pretty much take a take stock and look at what I was doing in the business and realize that I was just kind of following the treadmill, the hamster wheel, working far too hard, seeing too many people. There was never any leverage. There was never any scalability. And I didn't really fancy another 20, 25 years at that. So I set off to America, learned how to run a business, found this thing called direct response marketing, and understood from very early doors that business is business. And I've been pretty brutal with it. It doesn't matter whether there's 100 chiropractors, lawyers, doctors, physios, dentists, pool cleaners, pest control, whatever it is you do. Mechanics and structure of business are the same. The content needs to change slightly, and that's it. So I learned all that pretty early. Grew the business from me to now that's up to 20. We've got 4 premises. I own 2 of them, so I used a lot of the money that the business made to buy the premises. Pretty nice high streets where people see you as they call in and they book appointments. And we walked away from a lot of the insurance companies that most businesses are kind of trapped within. Certainly up in the northeast, it's very difficult to get to get in with the councils and the fire brigades and all that. Even doctors, I'm the world's worst. People ask me, "Oh, do you have any techniques for doctors?" And I'm the world's worst guy at that. Like, I'm the most miserable. Just do not want to talk to anybody. I'm a recluse. Just, I'm happy to sit in the corner of a bar on my own and do nothing but read. And that's me to a T. So the concept of having to go knock on doors and ask for referrals and send emails to HR companies and ask for meetings and stuff was never going to go on. And I realized, and I've said this a few times, I could have probably a more successful business if I was able to do all of that. Now, maybe I should get somebody in to do it, but it's not really my area anymore from a business point of view. So I just learned all of this stuff around how businesses works in terms of the marketing, the communication, the internal sales systems, how to use software, how to use CRM to keep in touch with patients. And ultimately what I learned over the period of time was how people make decisions. And I take it back to what I said at the beginning, they don't. Human beings are not very good at making decisions. In fact, we are dreadful at it. And as I studied my client, age 50, she's made so many bad decisions in her life already, she don't want to make any decisions anymore for fear of getting it wrong. So as I looked at my business from a global point of view and stepped out of it from being a physio, I realized that that's what I had to do. That you've been led to believe, and I was led to believe, that anybody who's got pain is either going to run a physio or a chiropractor. There was a study in America that I did a pretty big thing on. It was by, I think, Fritz and Childs, and I think it was in 2012. And they basically figured out that 7% of everybody who went to a doctor in America with low back pain was given a referral for a doctor to a physical therapist, despite the evidence showing that if they were given early referrals to a physio, the cost of care went down and the recovery time went down. So America went up in arms at this whole, you know, what the hell, this is disgraceful. And I was like, are you guys blind? You're all fucking worrying about the 7%. Why don't we figure out how to get to the 93? And in a heartbeat, that sums up business. Everybody in business, I don't know you guys, so I'm not going to say that it's you or not, but as a general rule in business, we're all focused on this small number of people who are ready to say yes today. The small number of people, for every like 7 who are ready to say yes to chiropractic or physio, there's 93 who've got problems that you can solve who cannot make a decision on coming to see you. Does not mean that they won't. Does not mean that they don't want to. Does not mean that they're cheap. Does not mean they've got no money. All the other disrespectful shit that people label them. It means they cannot make a decision on coming to see you for fear of getting it wrong. So that's the first thing to understand. And as I studied all of this stuff, it completely changed the way that I seen business and how I then created a business for this pocket of people. So my business, if you like, is essentially built for the 93. So I'm in a League of One and able to charge 150% more than a guy across the street. £99 a session in the northeast of England. Ridiculous. How? How? In Hartlepool, where the average wage is probably £18,000 at best. It just defies all logic. And one of the reasons is because I'm not a physio. I don't advertise physio. I talk to people about their internal problems and conflicts, acknowledge them that they can make decisions, they're fearful of getting decisions wrong, and they happen to have back pain. Two completely different things. So as we go through this today, I'll talk to you more about each of those concepts. But ultimately, that's how I grew the business. Everybody else in my area was going after the 7%, if you like, the people with pain, who were getting referrals from doctors, who were getting referrals from solicitors or from medical agencies or whoever. I went after the other 93. And I was able to charge what I want, build a business on my terms, tell patients what they need, and if they don't want to play a ball, get the hell out. There's three numbers of somebody else's clinic. And I can live with that almost like an iron fist. I can rule with an iron fist. And not in an arrogant way, by the way, in a way that if you want a Nokia, I sell iPhones, you need to go somewhere else. That's it. It's happening everywhere else in the world, in every business, and it should be. All this stuff is going on around you. That if I walk into the Microsoft store and I want the Apple iPad, they're not giving it to me. I'm not their customer. So understanding the mechanics and the structure of all of this, and hopefully you can all find yourself in it, whether you're a CA, a physio, or a chiro, whatever, really doesn't matter. What matters most is who the person is in front of you and how they perceive you and how they make decisions to follow through on what you've actually told them to do. Make sense so far? Yeah. All right. So here's the 8 major principles I believe to be responsible for my clinic success. Healthcare consumerism is well and truly here. Anybody heard of healthcare consumerism? Yeah? So ultimately what that means is humans now are making decisions on you and I based upon their interactions with other healthcare companies. People like Amazon. So a client of mine told me a few weeks ago, oh, everybody's shopping around in my town. And I think they were in New Mexico somewhere. And I said, your town? What, they don't shop around in Hartlepool? They don't shop around in Toronto, Melbourne, Canada? Like, get real. They're shopping around because of this wonderful thing called Amazon. That when you search in a bar for a TV, what do you do next? So if you're on Amazon, okay, you search for a TV, all the TVs come up, what do you do next? Scroll, click through, click out, click through, click out. That's shopping around in the digital age. What companies are failing to understand is that's a habit, that's a pattern. They don't switch that on and off when they call a chiropractic clinic or a physio clinic. Human beings are being conditioned to do certain things now because of the internet, because of Amazon, because of Facebook, like they've never ever done before. These things have only been around for 10 years. And I can guarantee if I went into most clinics aged 11 years or more, they will not have responded to any of it. Wouldn't have even entered their head that that's what their consumer is doing today. So when more and more people are price shopping and more people are looking for, what, 35 quid for chiropractic? Well, I can get it for 33 around the corner. You can thank Amazon for that. And there's a great saying, if you can be Amazoned, you're fucked. You are literally screwed because of Amazon. And the way, they can't replace us as human beings. And eventually, I believe Amazon will be a platform that people will find chiropractics and physio clinics on. But what they're really doing and the real danger is how they are conditioning your client to think differently and make decisions that maybe when you first came out of school or college or university or got your first job didn't happen. And if you don't respond to it, it's going to be painful. We can fight it all we want, but there's no point because you ain't going to win. So healthcare consumerism, Apple. So for example, I can go into Apple. Apple's success is based upon the premise that it's so simple to do business with them. If you study their company, if you look back into the history of the most successful company on earth, the most cash-rich business on the planet today, who has more money in the bank than the American government and probably however many of the governments combined, it's based on a meeting that Steve Jobs did in 1990-whatever, where he walked back in and he said, we have too many products. We want one of each. We're going down to 4, and there will be a fast option or a slow or a faster option, essentially. You go on Dell's website, how many different laptops is there? Chances of getting it wrong are what? Huge. Apple, fast or super fast? 1,000 songs or 5,000 songs? How easy do they make it for you to make a decision? Incredibly. You can talk all you want about Steve Jobs and Apple and everything else. If you really dig into what's going on and how you're buying from these companies and apply it to your own business, it is insanely easy to be successful in business. So as I looked at that in my business, I was like, oh, hang on, the traditional model of physio, what's everybody doing? 30 session or a 60 minute session? Why? Oh, well, and this is what my clients will say as I first approach this with them. Oh, it's just a bit easier to do the diary. I couldn't care less whether it's easier for you. It's what these customers want. So as you start to look around, if all of these companies are doing that, how many options are we giving our customers? Hey, you need a 12 session care plan. Good, it'll work for some. How about we go, hey, listen, we can do this one or two ways. We can do it fast or super fast. Do you want the 9-session plan or do you want the 18-session plan over the same period of time? Which one works for you? Consumers not thinking about whether they're buying from you now, they're thinking about which one they're buying. Make sense? So consumerism's here, and you will be judged on companies like Zappos, Apple. When I went through all this phase, and again, Natalie's here, I took her to the Ritz. We went to the Ritz in New York, and she's like, what are you doing? We can't really afford that. I was like, but I need to see this. Like, I need to see what's going on, how these companies are doing all this stuff, how they're making me feel as a consumer. How is that? I was in Hartlepool live chatting Zappos. They don't even send stuff outside of America, and I'm pretending to be like a guy in Kansas or wherever, seeing how they speak to me, how they talk to me. And I went back in the next day and said, I've been talking to this company online that sells shoes. My staff were like, what are you doing? I don't really care. Like, this company is a $1 billion company selling shoes on the internet. They're doing something right. And they're conditioning our customers on what they then expect from us the next day. So healthcare consumer is pretty big. And I would urge you, the key thing in my favorite saying on this, all of this stuff is happening to you. Make it happen for you. Skepticism is everywhere. A client said to me, after he'd been through some of my classes and I'd worked with him for a little while, he said, so what you're saying to me is we should be ready for the skeptics. I was like, we're not going to be ready for the skeptics. We're going to build your entire business around skeptics. This whole world is full of skeptical people. How many people do you think are, when it comes to what we do, all in on it or skeptical about it? To start from there. Don't hide from it. It's a white elephant in the room. But it's not just us, it's everything. They're skeptical about whether or not they're going to get the value at Disneyland. They're skeptical about whether or not, like, the train's going to turn up or whatever it will be. They're skeptical about everything. So it's not just us. So again, when you understand that's where humans come from. So my business is built, and this is what I said to the client, we're not going to build your business, we're not going to deal with one or two skeptics, we're going to build your business for skeptics. So rather than see somebody with back pain, or rather than see somebody with knee pain, or neck pain, or shoulder pain, in my world, they are scared, nervous, skeptical, frightened, tentative, unsure, unconfident, with back pain. See the difference? And if you start from there, you'll have better connections, you'll have better conversations, you will get them to feel as though you get them more than anything. And ultimately, as people leave my office, one of the things that I love to have going on in my business is people not really sure what they love about it. If they can label it, I'm worried. If they can label a practitioner, if they can label a front desk member, if they can label a treatment, I'm worried. Something's going wrong in my business. I want people leaving my clinic going, I don't really know what it is, I just love going to see Paul. I just love Paul's place. And a true story around that is we went away for a while and I came back and a guy who I go to the Critic Club, I got the Critic Club in my local club, and a guy said to me, oh, Paul, I was in your place. I loved it. The girls were great. They made me a coffee. It's dead friendly. It's dead relaxed. I love going there all the time. And oh, by the way, my back's better. And I thought, my business is doing well. If he'd have said to me, Paul, I went to your place and my back's wonderful, somebody's getting rollicked on Monday morning. I mean it. I'm 100%. That's how I live. That's how I build a business. Because I can come along and I can follow any of you guys, if I was a chiro or a physio or whatever, I could follow the same skills. I could work out which courses you've been on. I could work out who your mentor is. I could get on a flight and go to America and figure out the same technique skills. I could buy the product, which, by the way, is huge in the US. They think that their competitive edge is I'm going to an event next week called CSM, Combined Sections Movement. There'll be 10,000 physical therapists. There'll be a huge, huge room of people buying the latest laser therapy, the latest machine, the latest whatever. And they're all going to leave handing over 25 grand thinking they've got the competitive edge. I'm like, are you joking? Because if you can buy it, I can buy it. How on earth is that going to give you a competitive edge? You can't buy my culture. You can't buy my questions. You can't buy my understanding of people, my personality. None of that stuff. And that, more than ever in 2017 and moving forward, is what makes you different. If you rely upon the skill, you will be beat. If you rely upon your personality, nobody ever again will be able to beat you. In the 80s and the 90s, it was all about the skill because none of us had any other option to buy anything on other than a reputation or a few letters after somebody's name. It was the only way that we were able to find authority and confidence in making decisions. All of that now has been blown out of the water because there's so much information out there, people are actually stuck for fear of getting it wrong. So change the meaning, change the outcome. So I could have done this talk around communicate to win. Cool, boring, but that's what most people would have probably done if asked to come and speak about communication. So I'm going to give you the same talk, and I will get a completely different outcome because I give it a different meaning at the beginning. For another story on that, one of the best, probably single best marketing lessons, if you like, I've had in my life. I was speaking at an event in LA about 6 months ago, and this was on. This was a guy teaching this. So I was sat at the back of the room watching, waiting to speak. And he put a video on, and you can find it on YouTube. And if you can't find a cat and everybody wants it, I'll get it to you. It's basically the story around... I'll give you some context first. So in our world, when we're trying to get people to buy into our care plans, we talk about pain. Come on, let's get you out of pain or whatever it will be. If we change the meaning on that, we'll get a different outcome. So in this story, there was a blind man in, let's say, Chicago. Okay, and there he is. He's on the street, and he's got his little begging bucket. And next to him, there's a sign, and it says, "I'm blind. Please help." So somebody's videoing this. Nobody gives him any money. It's a freezing cold day in Chicago. A blind man. Obvious, I mean, it's so obvious that he is, he's not faking it, you know, whatever. Nobody even gives him a dollar. A lady walks up, so it's an experiment, a lady walks up, takes the same piece of cardboard, turns it around, and writes something else on it. Puts the cardboard down, filament continues, the guy's got about a grand in his bucket at the end of the day. And the sign went from, "I'm blind, please help," to, "It's a beautiful day, and I won't get to see any of it, please help." Boom. Same thing, completely different meaning. I don't think there's a better way I can explain to you how important communication is to yourselves, to your business, to your kids. This is not just a talk about business and being a better chiropractor, by the way. This is a talk about life, like, and how, if you want anything, you want your kids to do something, your wife to do something, you want to achieve something, how you speak and what you expose somebody to first determines what happens next. So remember that one. I'm blind. Versus it's a beautiful day outside and I won't get to see any of it. I'm going to come on to another principle pretty soon, but the context is we're very guilty of in healthcare of speaking about external problems, pain, and really human beings are motivated by internal problems, massively. And that sums it up. External problem, I'm blind. Internal problem, the heartstrings, it's a beautiful day outside and I won't get to see any of it. How? How can the same people walk past and not give them any money? The real thing is not to fight it. It just does. That's how we are wired as human beings. We might not want it to be, and we might want to talk to them about pain and a loss of function and all of this crap that really doesn't mean anything to the average, to typical 8 out of 10 macro level I'm talking at. There'll always be micro level, different patients. You know, some will come in excruciating pain, and that's a different ballgame. But our businesses are not built on people in excruciating pain at all, categorically not. They're built on people who've suffered for 2 or 3 years, 5 years, 10 years sometimes, who get so pissed off at something that they can't do or want to do, and they can't because of the pain or fear of missing out on it because of the pain. That's why they move. So again, when you understand that, you can change the narrative in your consultations. You can change the narrative on the phone. When somebody drops off, "Hey, you're in a lot of pain. You know, Dr. So-and-so said you need to come down and get that pain taken care of." It's a slightly different story when you go, "Hey, Mrs. Smith, listen, we appreciate you've dropped off and I know you've got a lot of kids and there's just like so much stuff going on. But I, you know, here at the clinic, we're still a little bit worried about this independence and mobility of yours." Because nobody really wants to lose their independence and mobility, their preservation of self-worth, their ability to push kids in a swing park this weekend. Anybody had that conversation with their patients? Do it. I've spent thousands on ads, hundreds in fact on ads, and there isn't a better ROI in any ads that I do for any client anywhere in the world, myself included, when we push buttons that are independence, mobility, and preservation of self-worth. Obviously for 50 plus, not 20 and 30, couldn't give a crap. It's a totally different ballgame. But what the context on that is understanding who your client is and what pushes their buttons. So that's not pushing the buttons of a 25-year-old CrossFit guy. What's pushing his buttons? He wants to be in the CrossFit community. He's going to lose his confidence. He might lose his body, his physique. He wants to put the best, the Ralph Lauren shirt on this weekend so he can get the chicks in the nightclub on Saturday, whatever it is. That's the conversation you have with that guy. You can't go, oh, your supraspinatus tendon hasn't quite recovered. And if you go in the gym, he's going to be like, yeah, okay, maybe. I'll see if I'm busy. Two totally different contexts, but the same outcome. Make sense? So, physios and chiros often sell external solutions and people buy problems. Same thing. That's ultimately where I've gone with that. We are trained and schooled and in love with the concept of pain and restoration of function. And in America, that's the big one that I picked up on was they're all on their websites. It's like, we get you out of pain and we restore function. I'm like, cool. Good. What does that mean to a 55-year-old like guy or girl? And oh, by the way, we give you exercises as well. Like and this is an interesting conversation that I've had with a lot of physios in America. The ante, if you like, of chiropractic is whatever their false belief around what chiropractic does, in that people go back for more sessions for chiropractic than they do physio. Now, this is not my opinion, I'm just telling you what's going on. So their antidote to that is we'll help you fix yourself with exercises, right? That's kind of what goes on a lot of the websites, and that's a bit of their marketing. So I come along and go, okay, how much is chiropractic? And they go, well, it's like, I don't know, $50 or whatever. How much are you charging? 170? So you want me to come and give you 170 quid and then fucking go home and do it all myself? You joke. There's a reason IKEA is $30 for a shelf or a bed or whatever. It's cheap. You've got to go home and do it yourself. So again, don't read into any of the is it right, is it wrong, does it actually happen? What that is a complete lack of understanding of what's going to happen and how that's going to be interpreted. Come and have a load of sessions of physio and pay $175 a session and we'll give you a crap load of exercises to do at home for 2 hours a night and do this, that, and the other to help you heal yourself, which is, yeah, it sounds good, but in reality, do anybody actually do it? And you want me to pay $170 for the privilege of doing all of that? Never going to work in a million years. We want it to work. The governing body wants it to work. Because it helps them justify themselves, it's exercise-based, it's research-based, and all this sort of stuff. It's not how human beings are wired. And again, I'm talking at a macro level, and I know you're all thinking there's a patient here, or this patient wants that. I'm talking at a macro level understanding of how humans actually are wired, the general population. Now, if you're in the CrossFit niche, or you're in the running, you know, sprinting, whatever, somebody's coming in, he's an athlete, it's a different ballgame. But the general population, you know, and if it's a business this size, I don't think you'll be all dealing with specialists on a daily basis. It's very difficult to do that. So external problems are pain. External problems are loss of function. Internal problems are fear of spending the rest of your life on pills. Fear of surgery. So my client, I'll give you context, she's 55. I said that. What's my client's biggest fear? And this is the skill of understanding this. If I asked my ideal client what her biggest fear was, she wouldn't know. She'd be like, oh, well, you know, I just don't really want back pain or whatever. Okay, right, let me tell you this one. My mother's 55, right? My grandmother's 83. What does my mother spend her entire life doing now, right now? She takes it to every hospital appointment, every doctor appointment, Asda on a Wednesday, the knitting club on a Tuesday, the church club on a Thursday. She's around every day, every night. Her whole life now has revolved around giving my grandma the independence and mobility that she hasn't got. Do you think for 1 second my mother's not thinking, that's me next? That's my mother's biggest fear. She will never communicate that. She'll never speak to me about it. She'll never, ever let it slip to any of her friends in any way, shape, or form. That's her biggest fear. It simply has to be because it's staring her in the face every single day. She does not want that life. Coincidentally, my mother, when she hit 50, yoga classes, Pilates classes, all this type of stuff, she crossed that bridge of all of a sudden at 50, you value your health a little bit more. Coupled with what she has to do to help my grandmother, that's my mother's internal problem. So then when I started to understand all of this and see how people are actually thinking and how they're making decisions, again, she's never going to admit it, so it's not one of them you can do a survey on it and say, how do I ask my customers? You can't do that. You have to understand that yourself. And they'll let it slip. They'll let it slip in the calls and the evaluations and the whatever. And again, I know that from history of doing all of our ads and Facebook and Google and everything that we're doing, any mention of internal problems that, in fact, if you went to my website, I'll tell you a little bit of what I do on a marketing strategy and how I use this. And it's up to you how you take this. If you come to my website and you request information off me, I'll ask you name, email address, and what's your number one concern. And there's a drop down of four things. Fear of not knowing what's wrong, losing independence and mobility, risking surgery, or a lifetime of pills. One of those four things is the reason that my clients come to see me. So they give me that on the website, or we'll take it at the first phone call, and it gets passed through the clinic at every stage and every level. So when we ring up the next day and say, hey, you left your telephone number yesterday, can we have a conversation? Now, most clinics are going, hey, you made an inquiry about chiropractic and physiotherapy. My clinic says, hey, can we have a conversation about this fear you've got about the surgery that might be needed about your back pain? We could go the entire day without mentioning the word physiotherapy or chiropractic if I was running a chiropractic clinic. It's about them and their problems. So when you start to understand this and you use, again, technology, CRM, websites, whatever, to actually extract their internal problems, they'll tell you what their problems are. So how we would then use that, the CA would get it, would pass it over to the physio, would pass it on to the next sports therapist, the massage therapist, and we would never, ever, ever at any point stop speaking about how our care plan or what we're doing is helping them to achieve that goal. Pain is almost banned in my office. If someone's talking about pain, I lose patience. If my physio start talking about pain, I hit the roof. Because it's taking them back. And where we want to be is where they need to be. So for example, in every scenario, every clinic, everywhere in the world, first session or every session, patient comes to the door. Hey, how have you been since the last session? Oh, my pain's not too bad, Paul. Yes or no? My clinic? Whoa. I didn't ask about your pain, I asked about you. I asked about you, the person. And my follow-up question is, and how close do you think we are to getting you to those 18 holes of golf without back pain so that you can get in the 19th with your friends and get two afternoons a week away from your wife? Because that's why he really plays golf. You laugh and you giggle, but when I use that words at the end of it, he's just booked 20 sessions at my clinic because of that last little sentence. Don't think he hasn't, because I get him. I understand him at an internal level. So if my competition are going, hey, come on, he's back pain, and he comes and sees me, and we figured out what his real problem is, and then we have that conversation with him at the consultation that says, I don't know why you really play golf. He leaves that clinic going, this guy gets me. I'm a specialist in his eyes. Specialists are not back pain specialists. Specialists are not knee pain specialists, or specialists in McKenzie or whatever else. You are a specialist in the eyes of your consumer. And the more that you know about them and their internal problems, the more that you can custom tailor your treatment plan, your care plan, your prescription of care, whatever you want to call it, to that specific person. Do that, charge what you want, set your own rules, like you'll blow the whole thing up. Exist on pain and loss of function, good luck, it's tough. You're in the league of every chiropractic clinic in the world or every physio clinic in the world doing it. If you can become the company, which is why I said at the beginning, the most important person is the front desk. If this was my business and I'm the physio and I'm not getting that information, I'm hitting the roof because I cannot do my job. It's being made hard because if I'm existing on pain and function and a VAS score every session and all the shit that they don't really care about, they only want to know and be reminded of repeatedly, relentlessly, because they forget why they were there in the first place. And again, just start from that point. If you start from that point, it's easier to build a business. Unless you help the patient avoid something negative, they won't buy from you. So again, we all go into business to help, and we do. And if you genuinely want to help, you have to understand that this is just the truth. This is science. It's not emotion. It's not salesy. It's not whatever. It's science. Human beings, let's put this into context, right? How many people today do you think woke up thinking, I'm going to smash it. I'm going to do everything I can today to be the best person I can possibly be. I'm going to do everything I can to get a pay rise. I'm going to do everything I can to build a bigger house and a dream of this, you know, wonderful life for my kids and my family. How many people have woke up today thinking that versus 10 o'clock, soon be 4, be able to go on, soon be 5, be able to close the curtains, put the telly on, put the fire on, get a takeaway, hope that the day's done. As a general rule in life, how many people are over here versus over there, do you think? 1%. 1%, okay? Human beings are motivated away from struggle, particularly this country. America's motivated towards success. We are motivated away from struggle. It's just a fact. You ask an American what happened in the war, they won it. What did we do? Survived. We survived the war. Ask an American, they won the war. Two completely different scenarios. It tells you everything you need to know. Britain's very stoic. America is a lot more, but it doesn't, again, on a macro level, it doesn't really make any difference. What's important is you understand who yours is, who your client is. So we're more motivated away from struggle rather than towards prosperity. And that is massive. When you're trying to take somebody towards happiness and health, which you are because it feels nice, it's not ticking any boxes, very few. On a scientific, biological, chemical level, you are not doing anything to move somebody towards happiness on a macro level. Yeah, there'll be micro levels, you know, the isolated patient, but I'm trying to give you secrets, if you like, to win on a bigger scale. So the patient who, let's say you get into a little bit of a fight with them, you know, not fight, but in terms of, oh, do I need 12? Can I just have 8? Can I just come once a week instead of twice? Their obvious scenario, the obvious excuse that they'll give you is money. I can't afford it. And then it's, oh, come on, you know, your health at stake here, blah, blah, blah. We do it because we're walking past or seeing on telly, like a booper, with a 60-year-old woman and a guy on a bike, fucking driving along the seafront as though life's like great. And it's like, a healthier you. Yeah? So we look at that and go, well, that's how booper are doing it, or that's how whoever are doing it. That must be the right thing to do. Complete crap. If you book booper, it's nothing to do with the fact that there was a woman on a bike smiling. It's because you've seen it so many times. They've got 10 million budget versus our 100 grand budget. You've seen that ad so many times. You're making a decision on the certainty of keeping on seeing the ad, the familiarity. Nothing to do with the words, nothing to do with anything on it. It was the familiarity of seeing the ad that bred confidence and trust. Usually while you're watching TV, where you're comfortable, you're warm, you've got your kids around you, you're friendly. That's how mass, old school, traditional marketing worked. That's Pepsi Cola, Coke, the Snow Bear and all that stuff. Like, we're not buying Coke because it's Coke. Because we have been conditioned to feel good and warm and fuzzy about that train that runs along at Christmas and the Snow Bear or whatever, and the kids loving it. That makes us feel good. So then when we're pushing the bloody trolley around in Tesco, you see the Coke, you feel good. Buy the Coke. Even though the one next to it, the roller cola, is £2 cheaper. So again, it helps to understand how people actually, what's going on. It's happening to you, make it happen for you. In terms of motivating a patient, yeah, you have to have the future person. You've got to take them towards what life's going to look like. But you won't win. You won't win an argument or a care plan, you know, debate, or a drop-off debate, or a you need to come back and see us debate on a future of health. You will win it on a reminding them what life was like and what life could be like if they don't take your care plan. If you stick to that narrative, I promise you will win 8 out of 10 times. This is a big one. We are a grudge. We are a grudge purchase. Nobody wants us. Even if they like you and they love you, my patients loved me, completely loved me, but I was under no uncertain terms knew that they did not want to be in my company that day. It was the last place on earth that they wanted to be, however well I treat them, however friendly I was. Again, come from that point of view. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't think that we are all conquering and all wonderful. As they see it, it is a grudge purchase. Problem as well with us, all right? This is, again, an understanding of how human beings make decisions and why they're a little bit uncertain around us. When I was 6 months old and I had tooth pain, where did I get taken? What happened when I was one? I was taken again. What happened when I was 1 and 6 months? I was taken again. What happened when I was two? I was taken again. What happened when I was 10? I was still going to the dentist. So when tooth pain came along, I had a pre-built, pre-conditioned pattern to go to the dentist. There's no decision for me to make to go to the dentist. This is where I'm going with it. There's not an ounce of decision making in any of your bodies when you get tooth pain. You Google a dentist, you ring the dentist, you do whatever. Your mother conditioned you in such a way that you don't have to make decisions around tooth pain. Or anything to do with your mouth, it's a dentist. How many of us were taken to a chiropractic or a physio clinic every 6 months? Partly because we didn't have back pain. But that just wasn't what goes on. My mother never spoke to me about physio or chiropractic, ever. So when I'm coming to make a decision around what the hell's going on at my back and I'm 25 and I just don't ring my mum anymore for these types of decisions, I'm out on a limb. I'm Googling, I'm YouTubing, I'm looking at review sites. I'm asking friends and I'm getting more information than I can actually make a decision on because everybody's telling me other scenarios. How can I make a confident decision? I can't. I simply can't. So again, understand all of this. and factor it all into how you speak and how you look at it and how you see your customer. Because the dentist, he's got my mother on his side. You and I, we don't have any of that. So we have to work twice as hard to help people make that decision around coming to see us. Patients come on a different journey. I learned this, and this is a real big one for you to understand. Again, how can the CA help? Where did they come from? So everybody has their spreadsheet, and everybody, you know, the business owner will have a spreadsheet, Facebook, Google, word of mouth, whatever. I would love to know what that really does. If I see Facebook, I see a different journey. If I see word of mouth, I see a different patient. If I see Google, I see a completely different patient. Google, they're looking for me. Facebook, I interrupted their day. Word of mouth, bit more trust. Doctor, all in, but no decision making. Journey of a typical patient didn't start with a doctor or going for a doctor and doctor saying you've got sciatica or stenosis. Journey of a typical patient started 3 years before with YouTube now, Google, a couple of days of rest. A Pilates instructor saying, oh no, just have a bit of rest, take some Pilates, try one of these balance balls. Then a friend in a coffee shop saying, well, I went to see this osteopath, he was great, try this remedy, try this. By the time they've got to you, this is the journey you have to understand. Their journey does not start with you. It started 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And all of this stuff's gone on. And again, how can they be certain in you, right? When if they've been on all of this journey, the doctor said this and it didn't work. YouTube said this and it didn't work. Pills have said that it would work and it didn't work. Their friend said try something else and it didn't work. How confident are they going to be in you? When they've been all the way through that and you're this knight in shining armor, earth, you'll be fine. There's something in the back of their brain going, well, that's what she said. That's what he said. That's what YouTube said. That's what the review site said. And I'm still in pain. So again, when you understand that and you take note of word of mouth in terms of the level of trust that comes from different sources, it helps you to make better decisions around how you're able to help them and communicate with them. We categorically cannot make decisions. There will be people in here today who absolutely know that they need to make decisions and you simply won't do it. You will have been agonizing over it, whatever it is, for weeks, days, months, and years, and I can tell you now, not one of them will be financial. And yet, you look at every patient who doesn't book an appointment with you, and the excuse will be, it's they've got no money. Bullshit. People will pay anything. There's a reason America's in $20 trillion worth of debt. How many millions of dollars are England in debt? Money's got nothing to do with what is going on. Credit cards have existed because people have figured out how to help people spend money that they haven't got with certain words in the right order. So if people are not spending money with you or they're not booking appointments, it's got nothing to do with money for 8 out of 10 people. Categorically not. So the real reason is they cannot make decisions for the fear of getting it wrong. And for most people, the pain associated with getting a decision wrong is worse than the back pain that they've got. So the game becomes, how can you help somebody? How can you soften the blow? How can you bridge? How can you go, okay, you need 12, let's start with 3. How about you come back next week for another free discovery? Think on it, bring your husband in, take some time. Should we follow up with you in a couple of weeks? What do you need us to do? The slower, and my belief on business, the longer it takes them to make a decision, the more they spend with you. In fact, that's not even my belief. That's pounds, shillings, and pence, I've realized in my own business. The longer that you give somebody to make a decision, the better client that they will be and the more money that they will spend because nobody else is doing it. Everybody else wants to take them out, take them on a date, and get them into bed. We need to romance them over a period of time. Business is just about replicating everyday relationships that are going on. So if the girl, you meet the girl in the coffee shop and you ask her to go to bed that night, you might get her in bed that night, but you might not get her back tomorrow. Patients are no different. What should go on is we go for the coffee, we meet on the internet, we go for a coffee shop, we go to the cinema, we go away for the weekend, we tell our parents, we change our status on Facebook, and all this stuff happens over a period of time. Yes or no? In theory, that's what's supposed to go on. And hopefully the equity that we've built into the relationship before it got serious is what determines how long it lasts after. Basic. It's absolutely basic. But what are we doing in business? Book an appointment. Come on down. I need $5,000 off you. I'm not saying not everybody's not ready for that. I'm saying there's a lot of people who are not. And it's not that they're not going to give you the money. And it's not that they don't want to give you the money. They're just not ready to do it. So understanding that they're not very good at making decisions is a huge thing. Any questions? Let's go.
Just wondering a bit more about your follow-up strategy.
Here's a mic.
Great, thanks. I really enjoyed
good.
Talk. Learned a lot. I just wanted a bit more about you. You talk about following up with people, obviously people that weren't ready to buy, maybe are 6 months, a year down the line. What strategies do you use to achieve?
Yeah, good question. So I use three things. So I use Infusionsoft as the mule, if you like, the software. But from the tactical level, but the strategic level, it's just information. I send them anything that they need to know that I care. So I've had people in my business who said no to appointments because we were too expensive. I've gone and got my book, and I've put, Dear Maggie, don't quit on your health. Best wishes, Paul. P.S. I've turned the page on the back pain section in my book at 140. Hope this helps. 24 hours later, can I have the appointment? It was nothing to do with money. It was trust. She just didn't trust, didn't think I loved her enough. Other businesses didn't love her enough. Other businesses promised her whatever. Information is the gateway to everything, the right information. So in my world, it's relentless follow-up. If you opt in on my website for back pain, you will still be getting emails off me 12 months today talking to you about why you're not booking, what life will be like if you don't, what it will be like if you do, showing your testimonials, showing your blogs, putting you on videos of clients who've been there, helping you understand the whole journey that you're going to go on with me. And I'm just using technology to scale it. So today, somebody will have booked an appointment in my business today who opted in to a website 6 months ago. We use follow-up. I have a follow-up team, so I have two people that I class as follow-up who are on the phone all day long to these people. My business is a lead-generated business. You make an inquiry today, I'm more bothered about the pipeline of leads than I am the customers. Obviously, ultimately, I have to keep on top of the customers, but if I don't have the pipeline of leads and the inquiries and the skeptics and the indecisive and the unsure and the anxious and the not quite ready and the I don't have the money type people, if I run out of them, I don't have a business. I certainly not one that I can charge 100 quid a session in a town where everybody else is charging 30. So I use that and I use direct mail. I've got postcards, I've got newsletters, I've got books, anything. Sometimes, and again, my clients will be like, oh, well, sorry for you, you've got a book. I'm like, just go on Amazon and buy one. Just put your name inside it and go, I know this guy's great and it's got some help. Best wishes, Oliver. They're not bothered about the book. It's the gesture that cares. So ultimately, information is the gateway, and relentless follow-up is the reason I believe I've got a bigger business as I have. Does that help?
Yes.
Good. Any more questions?
I'm Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
So what would be the some of the best questions to ask to get, you know, that person's love for a
farmer? Yeah, okay, good. The best answer I can give you is anticipate that they don't know. They have no clue. If you say, so why are you really here? My clinic, we've trained it relentlessly, hot-seated it, the whole thing. A lot of it's on YouTube if you want to watch. And if you say to a patient, our typical evaluation would go, hey, so I'm so pleased you've come to see us today. How can I help? And they'll go, well, I've got this back pain. We go, no, come on. You know, we appreciate you've got back pain. I know that. But for most people, you know, they're here because that back pain's starting to threaten something or worry something or cause whatever. It could be A, B, or C. So we give them a prompt because they can't think categorically. And then they'll go, well, now you've come to mention it. I've been worrying for about 3 years around, you know, I saw my friend have spinal surgery about 3 years. It's been on my mind ever since. And, you know, I've just thought that I should come and do something about it like today. You will get unbelievable explanations as to, there's a book you should read. I've heard a few people talk about things in here. It's called Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely. Changed my life. Don't say that lightly. Predictably Irrational sums up human beings. They are so predictable. It's unbelievable. Irrational. You know, when you put the phone, me and my girlfriend have this fight all the time. She's like, why do people do this? I'm like, you should know by now. That's what we do. But it's also so bloody predictable that it's going to happen because of that scenario. So I think questions are the answers, really. Great phrase. Quality of the questions determines the quality of the answers. And on the topic of questions, and I mean this respectfully, there's 100 people in this room and we are already struggling for questions. Human beings do not know how to answer questions. Let's go back to school. What happened at the end of a lesson? Anybody got any questions? While you're putting your bag, your coat, your hat on, your scarf, and you're belting out the door. You were never trained to learn how to answer questions or ask questions. If that teacher had said, before you leave, what question have you got for me, and you're not leaving until you have, this would be a different world, I promise you. Promise you. We cannot ask questions, and this happens everywhere I go. I go in a room, I have a coaching company, right? People pay me $1,000 a month to work with me and speak on a call once a week in a group setting. And the same 5 people ask the same questions every week. And the other 85 or whatever cannot do it. And it's not because they haven't got a question. They do not know how to ask questions. So a question for you, if you want a power one and something that will make a difference. If I can solve this problem for you in the next 2 or 3 weeks, what value would it add to your life, Mrs. Smith? And she'll stop, and there will be a second of silence, and you will get the most unbelievable answer. Don't be surprised if you get tears. And then what they'll do a week later, they'll come back, and they'll go, you know what? I'd never ever been asked that question before. I actually went home and told my husband why I was really going for physio. The husband, who didn't want it to go for physio because he thinks it's a waste of money. Now all of a sudden, I've got my own salesman in the house telling the husband or anybody or the skeptic around them saying, what, you spend 100 quid at Paul's clinic? Yeah, but this is why I'm going. Pain relief. Why don't you go to Asda and get some paracetamol? No, Paul's helping me do X, Y, or Z. You take for granted that they know why they're there and they don't. Until you ask them the questions. Now we've got the questions.
You mentioned something about what's your worst. Yeah, do you ask that?
What's your main concern? What's the biggest concern about your back pain? So it shifts away from back pain. So it's like, okay, this back pain is one thing, and I know that, and I get it, and I appreciate it. What's your biggest concern around the back pain, Mr. Smith? And you have to anticipate that they won't know. And it's not that they don't know. It's that they've never thought about it critically. Nobody's ever asked them. Because we're all having crappy surface level, micro level, shitty conversations around this type of stuff. Rather than going, what the hell are you here for? What are you going to give me 1,000 quid for? It's not back pain. Because paracetamol can do that. The NHS physio can do that. The doctor's injections can do that. So if I let you believe that what I do is what those guys do, I ain't getting paid at the end of the week. That's the reason for this. It's to help them formulate the thoughts in their brain. That's the NHS, that's paracetamol, that's injections, that's Paul, and why I'm giving him 1,000 quid. That's what it's about. I think you were next.
Thanks. Just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on something you said. We've always been taught that time kills all things.
Okay.
You said a lot of you give
something
to make a decision,
then what it's going to be. Yeah, and again, I hear you, and I think I like that. I like that. I understand it, and I get it, and I respect it. I think there's a little bit of old school mentality in it, old school sales, old school belief and patterns around how human beings in the past could be rushed because there was nothing else to do. It was like, I'm making a decision on qualifications, authority, a suit, a shirt and a tie, and a badge and a qualification. That's not really now what human beings are where we're at. And if you, and again, you've got to look at your typical client. Your typical client has been through, by the time they hit 40 or 50, they've been screwed over by everybody. Everybody that they've ever come into contact with has promised them what you're promising them today, which is ultimately a transformation. Whether it's the lawyer, whether it's the accountant, whether it's the real estate guy, the home seller, the guy who's cleaning the house, the guy who's putting the pool in, whatever. Somebody at some point in their life is screwing them over completely. And I've just worked out, and again, it's not my belief, it's studying how human beings are, how relationships are. What businesses often want is not what human beings want. And I've just learned if we rush them, we lose them. If we give them time. But what I'd also add to that is I'm ready for that. Not every business is. So there's context to it. If I didn't have all of the follow-up and I didn't have the team and I didn't have the emails and I didn't have the task reminders going out every week going, has Mrs. Smith had a phone call today? Has Mrs. Smith got her homework? If I didn't have that, my business wouldn't be as successful. But I do just, I firmly believe, and nothing will move me from it, from every business owner that I've helped, my own businesses that I've built, people are categorically not ready to make decisions on a macro level. Now, on a micro level of pain, and like real desperate need, yes. But remember at the start of the talk, what I'm about and what I preach is that 7% will take care of itself. Stunning growth in business comes when you go to the 93 who are not ready to make decisions. You will not force them to make decisions. They will make decisions in their own time. And when they do, they will be your client for life because nobody else builds that equity. It's called relational equity. If you build that into the relationship. So what the thing for you to understand is the difference. The guy who's ready to go, pain, blah, 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 yeah, fine. But where the critical thinking comes in from you guys is what if we just slow this down? Their pain's not going anywhere. Nobody else is going to do this for them. You're not going to lose them. So if you're responsible for your own schedule or diary or whatever, and if that's more of the question, just say, can I call you in 2 days? But give them the instruction. Have a think. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think around. Here's the 2 or 3 questions you've got, you know, you've got for me. Go away and ask your husband, whatever. I'll give you a call on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. How does that sound? It's just a much better way to build a business, I believe, and nobody will take me away from it because I'm seeing it more and more and more of the time. If you build time into that relationship, the scarcity and the fear and the worry is that they're going to go somewhere else. If they can't make a decision on you, they can't make a decision on anybody else. And it isn't money. We know that. It's the confidence and the certainty in which they get the outcome in exchange for the money that's at certain. That's how I charge 100 quid when everybody else in my town is charging 30. So I hope that helps.
Hi, Gareth.
Thank you.
Really good. I wanted to kind of ask you a slightly different question with more regards to how you've built not just physical business, but the rest of the business as well. What things do you use to help you know that you make good decisions? Because you said we're bad at making decisions. So what do you personally use, apart from obviously the information you read, to help you quantify that that's a good decision? Is that something I kind of struggle with, like, is this right, is this right?
Good. Yeah, good question. It's a very good question. What do I use? I'm not going to stand here and say gut feeling and, you know, emotions and all that type of stuff. What I use to guide my decisions, if you like, is I look at other people and businesses and I see other stuff happening to me and I want it to happen for me. And I start there and work back. Whereas I think a lot of people in business and just life in generally, they start at a level of, here's what I want, but they're not really there. And then they hit a wall, and then that's the first problem. The first problem hits them, and it's like, they're not compelled enough to break down whatever the obstacle is. So I could give you a very tactical question, or I could give you a bit of a high-level thinking around it, which would be, most people are getting stuck in indecision, back to the same thing, all right? And I'm going to tell you that the way that my businesses look today on a tactical level, I could never have predicted, ever. And I firmly believe that that is just the truth of every business. What you have to look at is what I did, if that's the thing, which is get going, be prepared to make mistakes, fail forward is a great decision, not reckless. Be prepared to start out with a plan. And I'm reading a book by Tim Ferriss right now, which is Tools of Titans, definitely worth checking out. And all the way through that, if you pick up on it, he talks about be prepared or get comfortable with changing the plan. It's okay to dive off. It's okay to deviate. It's okay to hit a point where you think, right, there's no further to go. Let's go somewhere else. So from a tactical point of view, from a strategical point of view, you have to start at the end and you have to work back. What do I want life to look like and what do I have to do to get that point? It's a silly analogy, if you like. Like, we have 2 kids, and we took one of them to California, Florida after 4 months, and we took him to Australia. He's 3-year-old, he's been to Australia twice, all over America, Europe, everywhere, Canada. And we took Tobias to America after 3 weeks. And he had his injections in San Diego, blah, 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 right? And where I'm going with that is every parent was horrified. They were like, oh, you're taking 2 kids on a plane, he's 3 weeks old, well, what about if he cries and what if this? I'm like, you're stuck at the tactical, minutia level of the problem. While you're thinking about that, I'm thinking about playing on the beach every night with my kids in the swing parks of La Jolla and the fresh air of 7 a.m. in the morning and 7 a.m. at night where my kids are still outside, rather than, like, for the last 2 months, they've been tucked up. If I see another frigging episode of Paw Patrol, it will never, ever, like, that day can never not come. And that's the difference in the quality of their life. When they're in America, it's fresh air. Tobias, 3 or 4 weeks old, it's gorgeous color, blonde hair, like, a little tint in his skin, fresh air going through his body. So I'm obsessed with that, and I can stay there. So it's worth the 12 hours of uncomfortable whatever on a flight. And that, again, as I think, is probably the best answer to your question, is that you start at the end and you've got to stick with what life looks like, and then you track back, and you do whatever you have to do. If that kid, like, I just will always go, and even when we went to Australia, if I have to walk around this plane for 24 hours with this kid, is it worth what life will look like when we get to Melbourne? 1,000,000,000% yes. That's it. There's nothing else. But again, back to our patients, let me put that into context for you. They can't keep their mind's eye cannot stay fixed on the prize. Which is why if you keep asking them about pain, you're taking them back. What did I do? How close are we to getting you to 18 holes on the golf course, Mr. Smith? Without back pain. I'm taking him to where he wants to be. I'm taking him on the flight. I'm taking him all the way on the journey. And I have to keep reminding him of what life is going to look like when he gets there. The moment I stop, he drops off. People drop off in my clinic when we start talking about pain. They stay in pain when we start talking about the transformation, what it will be like when we land in Melbourne. Let's not talk about the flight. Let's talk about the sunshine. Let's talk about the fresh air, the beaches, the swing parks, the cricket I'm going to watch, the cap I'll have on back to front, the vest and the shorts and the flip-flops I'll be able to put on every single morning rather than spending half an hour putting my bloody hat, scarf and gloves on for the next 6 weeks over Christmas. So I hope that helps. Good. Let's go.
So I think a lot of the chiropractors certainly as well will use that life effect that you just talked about and kind of focus them on the sunshine, etc. But I think what I find in practice is that every so often you just get something who's really difficult and they just say, oh yeah, well, the pain doesn't really affect anything, I don't really do that much, it doesn't really affect me. So how do you really... What tactics do you use to dig down?
Okay. And really get good. I mean, there'll always be an anomaly. And then my question was like, what the hell are you here for? Like, what are you here for? Because you can't sell the unsellable if they genuinely don't. But for most of them, it just isn't. There's something. There is a reason that they're there, whether it's posture, whether it's, and it isn't posture, it's the way that they look. Somebody's commented that they're haggard or they're old or they're whatever. Something will have gone on to drive that action to you. Human beings are motivated by a thought creates a chemical, and a chemical creates an action. Again, just understand that. Nobody does anything without thought. They created a chemical and an action. Three parts of the brain, four chemicals, create actions. That's it. So there is something. And I would, again, I wouldn't focus on the 1 out of 10 who you can't, because you're always going to get that. Focus on improving your conversation to the 9 out of 10 who you can, which is a much better answer to the question. People are horrified when I tell them we shut the office down for 3 hours every week and we don't answer the phone. And my clients will be like, what? Well, what if you get patients? I'm like, I don't give a shit. Why would I want to focus on how I answer the phone to this one person instead of focusing on how I answer it better to the next 100? See the difference? So if you can't, don't. But if it's happening, if it's 1 in 20, it's them. If it's 19 in 20, it's you. There you go. What's the saying? If everybody ignores me on a morning, if one person ignores you on a morning, it's them. If everybody ignores you all day, like, you're the jerk. You don't go home on a night and everybody, like, not everybody you're going to meet that day is, like, rude, miserable or whatever. If it's happening at 6 o'clock, still, it's you.
Hello. Hi. My name's Joe. I'm a CA.
Hi, John.
You talked a lot about the importance of your frontline team, uh-huh. But you also talked a lot about hitting the roof if something goes wrong. So I was wondering, how do you motivate and retain your staff?
My frontline staff are connected to patients. So when I say I hit the roof, I'm not a fighter, I'm not a shouter, I don't go in and, like, I lead and I build a business by explaining and teaching, and I do what I do here, and I help my staff understand what their role is within the company. So if you said to me, or a secretary said, what's my job, and they said, oh, I answer the phone and I send emails, it's like, no, it's not. That's not your job. Your job is to connect. Your job is to have fun. Your job is to brighten days. Your job is to ask questions. Your job is to pay attention. Your job is to listen. So it's a completely different game than... And it's also a completely different way that you see yourself. And that's what I've tried to do with my front desk team. So I have a fabulous front of house, Vicky, Becky, Sarah, 7 of them. They are fabulous because I make them aware of what their real job is every day. It's not to reply to email. That's the tactical aspect of their job. And yeah, they've got to do that to keep their job. But what really their job is and where they can make themselves indispensable and completely unfireable is to become personalities. If I wander around my clinic or I wander around my town, it's a very small town, or I go in my creative club or whatever it'll be, somebody will always say, Vicky was brilliant. Sarah was fabulous. Becky, I loved her. She's so fun. And the thing that I do, and if you want some tips on how to make yourself completely indispensable, patients come in and start talking and start using your name, you're unfireable. If patients don't know who you are, you're fireable. So how do you do that? Pay attention, listen, ask some questions. Remind them. one of our phone calls, right? We role played this phone call of how we answer the phone. So a typical patient will ring up, right? This, and again, understand their journey. Nervous, they've plucked up all the courage to call you. They're on the road, they're driving, they're on a tram, whatever. And they're like, they want to get this conversation out the way with because it's uncomfortable and nobody likes calling anywhere for the first time. So you answer the phone and you go, hey, it's Joe from Halsey Group, okay, how can we help? And then they're like, oh, can I have an appointment? Yeah, okay, what's your name? Sarah, okay, Sarah. Tomorrow you can come down at 10 o'clock and you can see Steve, our physio. Good, okay, cool, see you tomorrow. It's like, it's over, right? That's the typical conversation that goes on. Because why? Everybody's telling you the world wants to move fast and shortcut the process and everybody's in a rush. Ah, this shite. Who do you know on this earth that does not want to talk about themselves? Nobody. And let me add to that mix. Who do you know on this earth who doesn't want to talk about themselves when they're in pain or have got a problem? Again, it's happening everywhere. Like, so you, how are you putting, I don't know if you are, but if you're putting the phone down in 60, 90 seconds, it's not reflective of what human beings want. So at my clinic, to make these people indispensable, the Vickies and the Sarahs, and gives them the name, that'll go, Joe, just in case you didn't catch my name, it's Vicky. My name is Vicky, how can I help? Slow the whole thing down, completely. Having the decency and the respect to do what I would do face to face over the phone. Just assume that 9 out of 10 of the people that call you, if you're front desk, they did not hear your name. At all, I promise you. And when you even just take the time and have the balls to do that and just go, listen, just in case you didn't catch my name is Vicky. It's lovely to meet you. How can I help? Slow this relationship down. So what's going on? Oh, can I have an appointment? Absolutely. Yeah, cool. When are you looking for? Just before we find that appointment, do you want to tell me about what's going on? Just so I can be sure that we're a good fit and that we can help you and that we're not going to waste your time when you get here tomorrow. Ever said that on the phone? Changes the relationship completely because they know when they're coming in tomorrow, there's no decisions to make. You're almost saying, hey, you have to qualify to come see me. Which they should, by the way. Rather than be a given. If it's a given, anybody's coming in. That's the exact first 30 seconds at my office. Of course you can have an appointment, but just before we get it, just to confirm that we're a good fit and that you're right for each other and that we don't waste your time and your money when you get here, do you want to tell me a little bit about what's going on? And then I'll find you the appointment. And then at that point they'll go, well, I've hurt my back. And then at that point Vicky will go, no, come on. It's a little bit more important than that. What happened? Well, you know, 3 years ago, okay, cool. Now we have the full narrative. Now the physio is able to have a proper conversation tomorrow around that whole narrative, thanks to you. And the person that they remember and the physios and the chiropractors will hate this, you. You were the one who took the time to go, let's slow this down. The rest of the world's in a rush. I'm not playing the rest of the world's game. The rest of the world is skint, pissed off, frustrated, unhappy, unhealthy. Waking up every day doing the same bloody thing and getting nowhere near to where they want to be. So why play the game? Play your own. Figure out what human beings are doing, what you want, and put that into play in your business. It's unstoppable. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Good.
How many guys thought that was great? Awesome. Listen, I'll tell you this, is, you know, when Stinky comes up here and starts to share, and like every minute you start going, it's Jim. How do you think that you really came across a poor most of these talk about? Yeah, awesome. Just Jim after Jim after Jim, right? And there's one or two of those phrases will literally change the way you practice. So I thoroughly enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. And I can honestly say that I'm pretty sure that every single person here enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes!
Awesome. Give her a round of applause, please.
Thank you. Thank you.